Be with us as we study your word. Help us to have better understanding of what you have to say to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
亲爱的主，我们谢谢你，来帮助我们，求你真的是开我们的心，让我们能够更好的理解这个话语，你的话语。这样祷告奉主耶稣的名，
Amen.
That sounds good. The sound is fine. We are going to start, and I hope you have the information.
我们要开始了，请大家希望你能够有这个信息。
Let me give you what to prepare for our next class.
我要给大家一些下星期要准备的家庭作业。
Today we will finish as much as I can of the background to the New Testament.
今天我要尽力把新约背景给讲一下。
We will not have a class next Monday.
下个我们没有作业。
开始。
And then we will have class in 2 weeks from today.
然后从再过两个星期我们才上课。
And for that class, I would like for you to read the Gospel of Matthew.
为了准备下个星期，请你去读马太福音。
And as you read, I would like for you to highlight anything that talks about the kingdom of heaven.
当你读的时候，请你把任何讲到天国的词句给画，用高光笔画出来。
And I would like for you to think about what are the characteristics of life in the kingdom of heaven.
就是请你想一下，在天国里边，它的每个这个特质是什么？
Where do we live this life in the kingdom of heaven?
我们在哪里过，天国在哪里？我们在哪里过这个天国的生活？
And when does it start?
然后从那个开始。
And we will look at that in 2 weeks.
然后我们过两个星下个星期没课，然后隔一周我们才有课，我们就讲马太福音。
Now last week I started to look at the historical background to the New Testament.
上个星期我们看这个新约的这个历史背景。
I gave you a map on slide 10 that shows how the Middle East was divided after the death of Alexander the Great.
上个星期的第十张幻灯片是讲到说，在亚历山大大帝去世后的这个他的王国是怎么样被瓜分的。
From 331 on, Israel, Judah is controlled by the Greeks.
从公元前330年，犹大和以色列是被希腊人所占领、所统治。
I ended by telling you that the Seleucids, one of the four generals, conquered Palestine.
就是四个将军之一的西流基，他是那时候统治占领了巴勒斯坦。
Antiochus the fourth was such a cruel leader that the Jewish people revolted against him.
安提阿古四世是一个非常残忍的领袖，然后犹太人就跟他征战。
And in 164 BC, they drove the Greeks out of Palestine.
在公元前164年，他们把希腊人从巴勒斯坦赶出去了。
This becomes known as the Hasmonean period.
这个就称为是哈斯莫尼家族时期，王朝时期。
It is Jewish rule.
它是在犹太人统治。
It's a very prosperous time for
the Jews. 这是一个很繁荣昌盛的时期。
But what you need to know is that already there is a division that begins.
在那个时期开始已经开始有这个纷争。
The Hasmoneans, the Maccabees, were very politically strong, but they were not very religious.
这个哈士莫尼家王朝呢，他们在政治上是很有力，很强壮，也很有力，但是不是在宗教上。
And so there is a group that grows up during this time called the Hasidim.
在这个时期呢，就有一个群体出现，开始慢慢的强壮，就称为这个哈西典人。
They are very, very devoted to following the Old Testament law.
他们就是非常认真的，然后致力于跟随旧约的律法。
The Hasidim say, God judged Israel and sent us into exile because we broke his law.
这哈西点人就说是因为我们违背了神的律法，所以神就审判了犹大跟以色列，然后让我们被流放。
And if we break his law again, he will judge us again.
如果我们再次违背神的律法，那神就会再次审判我们。
They said that if Israel would keep God's law perfectly, God would send the Messiah.
他们就说如果犹太人是能够完美的来遵守神的律法，那神就会让弥赛亚再次降临。
So they are very spiritually, a great spiritual emphasis.
所以他们非常强调属灵的事情。
They keep the law very carefully.
他们就很认真的遵行律法。
They are very excited about the Messiah coming.
他们对于弥赛亚的来临非常的兴奋，也非常的热心。
Does this sound like anybody that you read about in the New Testament?
这个有没有让提醒你在新约里面有什么群体是有这样的特征呢？大家想想新约里有什么群体有这种特征？你们可以打开你们的静音回答。有谁要回答吗 ？Can I see?
Yes.
Pharisee.
They are the Hasidim are the predecessors of the Pharisees.
哈西典人就是法利赛人的前身。
By the way, if you go to somewhere like New York City today,
如果你今天要是去像纽约这样的城市
，and you see the Orthodox Jewish people who still wear the black robes and the men have the long beards.
如果你看到今天就是那个正统的这个犹太人，他们还穿着黑色的长袍，然后那个男人都留着长胡子。
They are Hasidic Jews.
哦，他们就属于哈西典犹太人。
They are the same group that was the Pharisees.
他们 ，You mean they are the same group as the Pharisee, right?
Yes.
他们就是跟法利赛人就是同样的传承这样的一个群体。Next one. Hello? Okay. I have a wait. Okay.
The Pharisees come from these the Hasidim.
这个法利赛人就是来自于哈西典人。
And I want you to understand that the Pharisees were very devoted.
这个法利赛人他们是很，怎么说呢，非常的虔诚。
And I later today, I want to talk to you some about the Pharisees. So remember the Hasidim.
所以我们待会儿会讲这个法利赛人，但是记住这个哈西典人。
Now, after about 100 years,
过了100年之后，
there is division in the Hasmonean rulers.
在这个哈斯莫尼王朝中间呢，就开始出现纷争，就开始争权夺利。
Two sons in the family both claim power.
两个儿子呢就都说自己是应该是继承人，应该是王位继承人。
And Judah breaks into a civil war.
然后犹大呢就成了，就是开始有这个内战。
And during that time, Rome comes in and takes over.
在那个时候呢，罗马人就来了，就开始就统治了。
And so in 63 BC,
所以在公元前63年
the general Pompey from Rome takes control.
庞贝将军那时候就控制了犹大，罗马来的。
And throughout the Roman, or throughout the New Testament period then, Rome will be in charge.
所以在整个新约时期是罗马人在统治。
At first, Rome's approach is to appoint a king.
在刚开始的罗马人的统治是他们指定一个王。
Who will rule, over Judah.
就是会统治犹大。
As a representative of Rome, but he is not necessarily directly controlled by Rome.
他就是被代表罗马来统治，但是又不是说直接完全受制于罗马人。
This is where we have in the New Testament Herod the Great.
所以这个就是为什么我们在新约里面有这个大希律王。
He is the ruler who is in charge when Jesus is born.
当耶稣出生的时候，他就是当时统治的这个王。
he lives from, or he rules from 37 BC to about 4 BC.
他的统治时期是从公元前37年到公元4年。
Jesus is born somewhere 4, 5, 6 BC.
主耶稣应该是公元前是四年，公元前五年出生的。
We remember Herod the Great almost entirely negative.
我们一讲起来大希律王，对他的印象基本上是全部是负面的。
We remember him for killing all of the babies.
我们记得他就是杀了这个伯利恒附近所有的男婴。
But in many ways, he was a good ruler.
在很多方面，他其实是一个还是比较好的统治者。
He was an Edomian, a relative, the line of Esau.
他应该是这个以扫的后代。
And he really liked the Jews.
他还是挺喜欢犹太人的。
He paid to rebuild the temple.
他自己出钱就是重建圣殿。
He improved the roads, he gave them a lot of freedom.
他就是把当时的交通状况给修缮了很多，然后又给了犹太人很多自由。
When there was a famine, he lowered their taxes.
当有旱灾出现的时候，他就降低人民的赋税。
He even used his food to feed them.
他甚至用他自己就是自己的食物来喂养这个灾民。
Unfortunately, as he got old, he was very, very jealous.
但是当他可惜的是，当他年纪年老的时候，越来年老的时候，他就变得非常容易嫉妒。
He was constantly afraid that someone was going to try to take his kingdom.
他就很就是一直活在这个恐惧之中，就觉得说有人要抢他的王位。
He had some of his own sons killed when they were old enough that he was afraid they could be a threat.
所以他就杀了自己的几个儿子，因为他怕他们长大之后会篡位。
And so when he hears that there is a king born in Bethlehem,
所以当他听到说有一个未来的王要出生在伯利恒的时候，
he feels like this is a threat to me.
他就想到说这个对我是一个威胁。
And so he has all of the sons under 2 years old killed in that area.
所以他就在那个伯利恒那个地区周围所有的男婴，就是不到两岁的男婴都被杀。
For him, it was very simple. There can only be one king.
对他来讲很简单，只能有一位王。
And so he would kill anyone who was a threat.
所以任何人只要对他有威胁，他就杀了那个人。
Now, after Herod the Great dies,
在大希律王死了以后，
the land, his kingdom is divided between three sons.
他的这个土地呢，就是被分成了在他三个儿子中间瓜分。
I gave you a map, slide 13.
在那个十三张幻灯片，如果大家可以打开的话，十三张幻灯片是我们的这个地图。
That shows this.
就开始显示这个。
One of his sons, Archelaus, is given the area of Judea that includes Jerusalem and Samaria.
那个亚基老他是统治这个耶路撒冷跟这个犹大。
He is the ruler. Remember that God warns Joseph in a dream and he takes Jesus away to Egypt.
然后他就是当时神在梦中就是警告约瑟，所以约瑟带着婴孩耶稣去了埃及。
When he is going to come back,
当约瑟决定要再回到犹大的时候，
he is again warned.
他又被天使警告。
He hears about the new Herod.
他就听到这个新的这个希律王。
This is Herod Archelaus.
这个就是那个亚基老的希律王。
And Archelaus was a worse ruler than his father.
这个亚基老呢，比他的爸爸大希律还糟糕，还坏。
And so instead of going back to Bethlehem,
所以呢，约瑟就没有回到伯利恒。
Joseph takes his family to Galilee to Nazareth.
所以约瑟呢，就把他的就去了加利利的拿撒勒。
Let me just jump and tell you that Herod Archelaus was such a terrible ruler.
这个历史上就说这个亚基老是这样一个糟糕的一个统治者。
That after just a few years, the Jewish people send a messenger to the emperor to say, if you do not replace him, we will revolt.
然后呢后来这个犹太人呢就送使团到罗马人对那个皇帝说如果你要是不把这个人给换掉的话那可能这个我们这个地方就要发生叛变了。
Archelaus is taken off the throne.
所以亚基老就被罢免。
And instead of putting a new king,
就是不是说又重新指定一个新的王。
Rome puts Judea directly under Roman rule and gives them a governor or a procurator.
罗马人就直接指定了巡抚在那个地方。
That is the job that Pilate will be in.
这就是那个比拉多当时就去做，就是他的工作，他就做了这个地方的巡抚。
Now on your map on slide 13,
在你的那个幻灯，你的那个 PowerPoint 的第13章上面。
Herod Antipas controls Galilee and the area across the Jordan, what we call the Perea.
就是亚基帕他的这个希律王他统治的就是加利利和在约旦河东的比利亚。
He is the King Herod who kills John the Baptist.
他就是这个就是杀了施洗约翰的这个希律王。
And then all the way in the north, it's the area that's called Galanitis.
在这个北方，就在这些所有地方的北方，称为哥拉特尼的一个地方。
Is Herod Philip?
就是这个是腓力希律。
He is the most gracious of the three Herods.
他是这个三个希律王里边最慷慨、最善良、最好的一位。
And in the last part of Jesus' ministry, he will go up there to what's called Caesarea Philippi to get away from the danger from Herod Antipas.
所以在耶稣施工的最后期间呢，耶稣有时候会去这个地方呢，叫做凯撒利亚菲利比这个地方呢，去躲避就是当时的这个希律王。
Now I know I've given you several names.
我在这里给了大家很多的地名。
But if you will keep this map with you when you read the Gospels,
所以当你读福音书的时候，如果你就是一直有这个地图的话，
it helps you to understand where Jesus is at each point.
然后你就会了解就是耶稣的事工，他都是发生在什么地方。
And sometimes to understand which of the rulers he is talking to and interacting with.
有时候你就会帮助你了解说他在讲论的是哪一个统治者。
Now, where I wanted to spend the most time today is on the social background.
今天我最想集中的是在讲这个社会背景。
And I want to do this in three parts.
这社会背景我分成三个部分来讲。
I want to look at the Greek background for the New Testament very briefly.
在新约时期很简短的讲当时的这个希腊文化背景。
The Roman background.
然后罗马文化背景，罗马背景。
And the Jewish background.
然后这个犹太人的文化背景。
Because many times we read the New Testament from our own perspective.
所以很多时候我们读新约的时候是从我们自己的这个背景来看，自己的角度来看的。
And if we do not understand the social background, sometimes we will misunderstand what Jesus is teaching and what is happening.
如果我们不了解当时的社会背景，我们就可能会误解当时主耶稣他的这个教导。
If you come from China to America,
如果你是从中国来到美国
，and you know no other Chinese people,
你也不认识任何别的中国人
，and you settle down in a little town in Kansas,
你就住在堪萨斯一个很小的镇里边。
Many things are going to seem very strange to you.
有很多事情让你看起来觉得很奇怪。
You will go in the store and someone will say, "How are you?"
你去到商店里会有人问候你说你怎么你还好你好吗你好。
And you start to tell them about how you are doing.
然后你就告诉他们你现在的生活状况。
And they will just walk away.
你开始讲的时候他们就走开了。
And a Chinese student said to me, why do Americans ask, how are you? They don't want to know.
我的中国学生就问我说，为什么美国人问我说你怎么样呢，但是却根本就不听呢？
Because how are you is just the way to say hi.
因为在这个美国人的世界里，当他说你好吗，这个不过是一个打招呼的方式。
But if you don't know that, you may be confused.
所以如果你不了解这个习俗的话，你可能就会觉得很混淆。
But when I went to Taiwan,
当我去台湾的时候，
and in the morning someone said, have you had breakfast today? Have you eaten today?
早晨就会有人就问我说，吃饭了吗？吃早饭了吗？
I thought they were inviting me to come to their house to eat.
我在想他们是不是在就是邀请我去他们家呢，去吃饭呢？
And my Chinese friend had to say, oh, no, no, it's not an invitation. It just means hi.
然后我就说他不是在，我的朋友，中国朋友就在给我解释说，他们不是在邀请你去吃饭，这个只是一种打招呼的方式。
Cultures are different, and so we need to understand the culture of Jesus' time.
文化背景是不同的，所以我们需要了解耶稣时代的这个文化背，社会背景。
So let me give you just a few things this morning that helps us when we read the New Testament.
所以我就给你几件事情，就是希望能够帮助你了解读新约的时候对你有所帮助。
Slide 15.
就是 I think I got it. 我们就是那个第十五章幻灯片。
From the Greek background, I'm only going to talk about language.
从希腊的讲这个社会背景，当时的希腊影响，我在这里只讲语言。
But this is an important part of the background.
但是这个是很重要的一个背景。
Because under Alexander the Great, all of his empire had to speak Greek.
因为在亚历山大统治的时候呢，所有的人都必须讲希腊语。
That was the language of the Greek Empire.
那个就是这个希腊帝国的官方语言。
And even after the Romans took over,
就算是这个罗马人最后他们统治，他们掌权了。
People continued to speak Greek everywhere.
但是这个帝国里这个所有的人民继续的讲希腊语。
This is very important for the New Testament.
这对新约来讲是非常的重要。
Because wherever the missionaries went in the Roman Empire, they would be able to communicate to people with Greek.
因为当在新约里边这个传福音的人不管到了任何地方，他们就可以直接讲当地的语言，就是大家都在讲希腊语。
That provided a common language.
这个希腊语给大家提供了一种共同。
So everywhere Paul went, he knew he could communicate to the people in Greek.
所以保罗不管去了什么地方，他知道他可以用希腊语来跟当地的人交流。
Before the exile.
在这个被掳之前。
The Jewish people had spoken Hebrew.
这个犹太人的语言是希伯来文。
And could not communicate easily with other cultures.
所以他们是没有办法跟别的文化背景的人交流的。
But now through the Greek language, they would be able to communicate the gospel everywhere.
但是现在呢，就是因为这个希腊化的这个一个在帝国里的一个希腊化，他们可以跟不同的地方的人交流。
Let me just mention the last one on that slide.
就是在这个现在这个出来了这个幻灯片的讲到这个七十最后一个
这张。The Septuagint was the Greek translation of the Old Testament of the Jewish Bible.
这个新约译本是旧约的一个希腊文译本。
And so that allowed the missionaries to take the Bible everywhere and everyone could read it.
所以这个七十四译本呢，就可以让当时宣教的人，他到任何地方呢，可以把这个旧约介绍给当地的人。
Now on the next slide, I talk about the Roman Empire.
下一张幻灯片里边，我讲到这个罗马的这个影响。
And I want to mention a couple things here.
在这里呢，我想要讲有几件事。
The first one I want to mention is the Roman peace.
第一个讲到的是罗马和平。
The Roman peace is the unity that the Romans bring to their empire.
这个罗马和平是罗马人带给这个罗马帝国的一个统一，就是一个一体化。
And the reason I say this is important.
这个之所罗马和平时期之所以重要
is that before the Roman Empire, it would have been very difficult for someone like Paul to travel and spread the gospel.
在罗马和平时期之前，如果保罗想要说去旅行到不同的地方去分享福音是很困难的。
There were few roads.
因为那个时候罗马和平时期之前的那个道路很少。
Travel was very difficult because of the robbers who would stop you on your way.
然后路上呢会有强盗，所以这个旅行是很困难的一件事情。
But Rome determined to bring a peace to their empire.
但是罗马帝国呢就是定义说要给他们所统治的这个疆土呢带来和平，就是要带来有平安。
It was not peace like we think of, unity.
他所讲到这种和平不是让我们讲到的有这种合一。
It was a very cruel submission to Rome.
就是一种很残忍的就是对罗马的这种顺服呢，你的这个降服呢其实是用这个暴力来执行的。
So for instance, if you were a robber who killed someone on the highway, they would crucify you.
比如说你是个强盗，你在路上呢你就杀了，就是抢劫的时候杀了人，那你的被判的罪名就是被钉十字架。
Very often they would crucify the criminal beside a main road.
他们经常呢会在这个大陆的两方就是上边就在两方就是有那个被钉十字架的囚犯。
And they would leave the body there on the cross beside the road to rot.
他们就让这个尸体呢就留在十字架上，这个尸体慢慢的腐烂。
To say to travelers, this is what will happen if you break Rome's law.
所以这个就是对这个所有这个旅行的这些人的警告，就是如果你违背了罗马的律法，那个这个就是你的下场。
But here's why I say it was important.
我在这里讲这个之所以重要是
Rome built over 50,000 miles of road.
罗马帝国建立了50,000英里的这个道路。
They made it safe to travel on these roads.
他就确保说在这些道路上，这些大道上，这个去旅行是安全的。
And so Paul and the other apostles could travel anywhere to preach the gospel.
所以保罗跟别的使徒他们就可以在这个罗马帝国里面就是可以到任何地方去宣讲福音。
Rome emphasized great cities.
然后罗马人很强调这个大城市。
In Jewish culture, the emphasis was on small towns.
这个在犹太人的文化里面呢，他们强调的是小的城镇。
When we read about Herod killing the babies in Bethlehem,
当我们读到新约里边就是大希律王屠杀男婴的时候，是发生在一个小镇。
We imagine hundreds of babies.
我们会想象说有好几百的婴孩被杀。
It was probably 15 or 20 babies.
但是实际上只有大概15到20个男婴被杀。
Bethlehem was a small village.
然后伯利恒是一个小村庄。
Almost all of the Jewish towns were small.
所以这个犹太人所有的这个城镇都是很小的。
Even Jerusalem itself.
就算是耶路撒冷城自己。
The old city of Jerusalem, you can walk in just a few hours all the way around the city.
你在这个老的这个耶路撒冷城，你只要花几个小时就可以把这个城给绕一圈。
But Rome emphasized cities.
但是罗马人很强调这个城市、城邑。
When we come to the book of Acts,
当我们到了这个使徒行传的时候，
this becomes very important for the gospel.
这对福音来讲就很重要。
Because Paul will focus on reaching the cities so that from those cities the gospel can go all through the small villages.
所以保罗他的传道重点是在大城里边，大城市。这样子的话呢，从这个城市呢，这个福音可以达到周围附近的小城镇。
And so the Roman system became part of how God prepared for the gospel and the planting of the church.
所以罗马的这个系统呢就成为神如何来为这个福音做准备，然后让这个福音广传。
Now the most important background I want you to understand is the Jewish, so let me jump to that.
最重要的当然这个社会背景就是犹太人的背景，让我们到下一个这个幻灯片。It's a little slow, sorry, not responding well. Just go ahead, please.
The Jewish...background includes an emphasis on small communities of religious training.
这个犹太人的背景，他们就强调这个小的这个社团，这个宗教团体。
And that becomes the model that Jesus will use with his disciples.
这就是耶稣所跟他的用在他的门徒上的这样一个模式。
It is the model that the early church will follow.
这也是早期教会所跟随的一个模式。
To form small groups that will teach each other to follow Jesus.
形成一个小小的每个小小的一个团体，然后呢，他们教导来跟随耶稣。
There was a great emphasis on watching for Messiah.
他们有一个他们很强调就是要期待弥赛亚。
They did not reject Jesus because he claimed to be Messiah.
他们没有说因为耶稣宣称自己是弥赛亚而拒绝他。
They rejected Jesus because he was not the kind of Messiah they expected to come.
他们之所以拒绝耶稣，因为耶稣不符合他们所期待的弥赛亚的形象。
The Hasidim, the Pharisees said, when Messiah comes, he will stay away from sinners.
这个哈西点人，这法利赛人说，当弥赛亚来临的时候，他会离罪人远远的。
He will eat supper only with holy people,
holy men. 他只跟圣洁的人一起吃饭。
But when Jesus came, he ate with sinners.
但是当耶稣来的时候，他和罪人一同吃饭。
He welcomed women into his followers.
What's a ribbon?
He welcomed women among the group of his followers.
他就是甚至在耶稣他吃饭的时候呢，他甚至就是也欢迎妇女来参加他们的这个一个宴席。
He touched lepers and unclean people.
他也会触摸就是那些麻风病人和那些不洁净的人。
And so they became very unhappy because he was not the kind of Messiah they expected.
所以这些人对耶稣就很不高兴，因为耶稣没有符合他们对弥赛亚这个的期待，弥赛亚形象的想象。
One more thing I want to mention on this slide is the synagogue.
另外一个我想要很重要的提醒，就是看集中的就是这讲的会堂。
The synagogue is very important.
这个会堂对犹太人很重要。
Anywhere you had a group of at least 10 men,
只要说你有
Jewish men, you could have a synagogue.
只要说你有十个人在犹太人里边，那就就是说你如果有十个犹太人的话呢，他们就会你就需要有一个会堂。
This is where they gathered for worship.
他们在会堂里边，他们会聚集在一起来敬拜。
It is where they gathered to read the scriptures.
他们也会在这里呢，能够在一起来就是读经。
It is where they had school.
他们在这个时候呢，他们也一起就是说来有学校。
All of Jewish life revolved around the synagogue.
这犹太人所有的生活呢，都是围绕着这个会堂的。
When I went to Israel, I visited a synagogue in Jerusalem.
当我在去以色列，去年去以色列的时候，我参观了一个犹太人的会堂。
All around the room were tables, and Jewish men were reading the scriptures.
所以在那个大家在这个会堂里边都是桌子，然后这犹太人就在读他们的这个在读经文。
If you go to the next map,
如果我们去下一张地图，可能出来的比较慢，大家如果有可能自己看一下下一张地图。I'm sorry.
You can see where they have found synagogues that were in Galilee during the time of Jesus.
你们可以看到在you mean the spot, 就是说那上面那个小点点那个小叉叉，就是当时这个考古发现在耶稣时代所有的这个有会堂的地方地址。
There were dozens of synagogues.
那边呢有好有几十个几好几打的这个会堂。
The city of Jerusalem probably had 80 synagogues.
在耶路撒冷大概就有80个会堂。
Jesus will very often visit the synagogues.
耶稣经常会去这个会堂。
His first sermon was in a synagogue.
他的第一次讲道就在会堂里边。
And then in the book of Acts, Paul will usually go first to the synagogue.
所以在使徒行传里，保罗每到一个地方，他就先到当地的会堂。
Because he knows the synagogue will have people who are studying the scriptures and who are waiting for Messiah.
因为他知道在会堂里边会有这个去读神的话语也在等待弥赛亚来临的人。
Then if he is rejected at the synagogue, Paul will go other places to preach.
然后如果保罗在会堂里被拒绝，然后他就会跑到别的地方去，就去讲传道。
Now we are running out of time. Let me quickly go to the slide 19.
下一张呢，大家请自己翻到第十九个幻灯片。
I want you to understand as you read the Gospels who the people are who are talking to Jesus.
我就想让大家了解，就是说在跟耶稣对话的这些群体都是什么样的人，都是谁。
I've already mentioned about the Pharisees.
我已经讲到了这个法利赛人。
Now I think it is very unfortunate.
很不幸的是
If we were in class together and I were to ask you what you think about Pharisees,
如果我们在课堂里我问大家你对法利赛人的印象是什么
Probably everything you would say would be negative.
那你 讲到法利赛人大概你所有的描述可能都是负面的
You would say they were hypocrites.
会说他们是假冒伪善的人
You would sayThey thought they were better than everyone else.
你可能会说他们会觉得自己比别人都好。
You would say they stayed away from other people. They were holier than thou.
然后你就会说他们可能觉得自己比别人都更圣洁，所以他们跟别人都保持距离。
That is not wrong.
这一切都没错。
But it's not entirely right.
但却不是完全，不完全对。
If you had lived in Jesus' time,
如果你是活在耶稣的时代
and someone said to you, what is a Pharisee?
如果有人问你说法利赛人是谁
you would have said, the Pharisees are much better than me.
你会说这个法利赛人比我强多了
They are very careful to keep God's law.
他们很认真地遵守神的律法
But they are also very kind.
他们也很友好也很仁慈
They give money to the poor.
他们给穷人，就是给穷人钱。
They will stand in the middle of the town.
他们会站在这个城镇的中心。
And their servant will blow a trumpet.
然后他们的仆人会去，就是去吹这个号角。
And say, if you come here, the Pharisee will give you money.
你只要到这儿来，这个法利赛人他就会给你钱。
And the poor people would come running, and the Pharisee would give money.
然后这个穷人就跑到那里，然后法利赛人就给他们钱。
You would say they are very good people.
你就会说他们是很好的人。
In fact, the Pharisees were very popular.
在那个时候，这法利赛人是很受大家欢迎的。
There were not very many Pharisees, only about 6,000.
不是有很多的法利赛人，法利赛人的总数只有6,000人左右。
Because it was hard to be a Pharisee.
因为要成为法利赛人可是不容易。
You had to give away your money to people.
你必须要把你的钱都给分发出去。
You had to fast often and pray.
你要经常的进食祷告。
Spend many hours to read the scriptures.
要花很多的时间去读经文。
So you say, well then why does Jesus say they are a hypocrite?
那为什么耶稣会说他们是假冒伪善的人呢？
This is very important to understand.
这个对我们了解很重要。
We use the word hypocrite different than the Jewish people used it.
我们用这个假冒伪善跟犹太人用这个假冒伪善的这个意义是不同，是方式是意义不同。
We use the word hypocrite to mean someone who preaches one thing but lives a different thing.
我们说假冒伪善就是这个人说跟做是说做就是说跟做是说是一套做是一套。
We say a hypocrite is someone who preaches a sermon, but then he has, he uses drugs and has a girlfriend.
我们会说，这个假冒伪善的人就是说，他讲道的，就是他在上面讲一套，但是讲道，但是却自己就是底下呢，却是吸毒，也有这个外边也有情人。
But Jesus uses the word hypocrite to mean someone who is not the same on the outside as they are on the inside.
但是耶稣所用这个法利用这个假冒伪善意味着就是说这个人的外边跟里边是不一致的。
Jesus said the Pharisees are hypocrites for this reason.
主耶稣之所以说法利赛人是假冒伪善的人是因为这样的原因。
They keep God's law, but in their heart they do not love God.
就是他们是遵守了神的律法但是在他们的心里他们并没有爱神。
They are not keeping the law out of love, but they are keeping the law out of obligation.
他们遵守神的律法不是出于爱，而是出于义务跟责任。
They give money to the poor, but not because they love the poor, but because they want the poor to be impressed with them.
他们给穷人钱不是因为他们真的是爱穷人，真的是关心穷人，而是让穷人对他们印象深刻，觉得他。
In the New Testament, a hypocrite does the right things, but he does it for the wrong reason.
在这个新约里边，这个假冒伪善意味着一个人他做的事情都是对，但是他做事情的动机却是错误的。
A Pharisee today is someone who is very careful how they live.
在如果这个法律这个假冒伪善的人在今天用那个时候的标准来衡量，就是说他非常小心他的生活。
But their motivation is wrong.
但是他们的动机这样小心这样遵守律法这种生活，他们的动机是错误的。
Instead of being careful because they love God, they are careful because they want to impress people.
他们之所以小心这样的遵守这样生活，不是因为他们爱神，而是他们想要周围的人对他们觉得印象深刻。
They keep God's law, but they do not love God.
他们遵守神的律法，但是却不爱神。
Now we are out of time, and so I am not going to talk about the other groups.
因为我们时间那个不够了，所以我就不讲别的了。
But if you will review over those notes, maybe it will help you to understand a bit more as you read in Matthew.
如果大家可以回去看这些幻灯片的话，可能会帮助你了解这些。
Again, we will not have a class next Monday.
所以下个星期我们就没课。
And then 2 weeks from today, we will pick up the Gospel of Matthew.
所以再过两个星期，我们来讲马太福音。
Let's finish with prayer, and then I'm asleep.
我们以祷告结束，然后我就要赶快下线了。
Dear God, help us as we study your word.
亲爱的主，帮助我们能够学习你的话语。
Help us to not allow the heart of a Pharisee.
不要让我们有这样法利赛人的一个心。
Help us to keep your law because we love you.
帮助我们遵守你的律法是因为我们爱你。
You told the Pharisees they were right to keep the law, but they were wrong to have the wrong heart.
你称法利赛人他们遵守你的律法是对的，但是他们错误是因为他们有错误的动机。
Help us to serve you out of love.
求你帮助我们，让我们服侍你是出于爱。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名。阿门。
阿门。
Thank you. I must go.
Thank you. We really
thank you.